Now, I hope you didn't put your imagination back in your pocket, because I want you to again revisit this scene with me. In it, Jesus is on a journey. Have you heard the recurring theme of this service? In Luke's gospel, a good portion of the middle section of it is phrased like a journey. For Jesus has his eyes set upon Jerusalem. Now please note, Jesus doesn't start here and says, okay, it's so many miles from here to Jerusalem, let's go and make a beeline for it. No, his journey meanders quite a bit, probably covering a good portion of the territory between Galilee and Jerusalem. It's a meandering journey, sort of like our lives. We don't make a beeline really to get anywhere, do we? We wander, just like the children of Israel wandered many years ago. Now, on the journey of Jesus to Jerusalem, they passed by the territory known as Samaria. Now, I hope many of you know that there is a great deal back in that day of animosity between the people who lived on this side of the line and those who lived on that side of the line. I don't need to go into all the details, but just know they hated one another. And that hatred probably had a lot of religious and cultural and societal and whatever overtones to it. Jesus walked near the boundary, as he so often did in life. Jesus was a boundary walker, if you will. You know, he often went places where good people probably shouldn't go. You may recall that he got into trouble with some people because he was always eating with, well, like tax collectors. And you know, he rubbed shoulders, just shoulders, mind you, with persons like prostitutes and other less than savory folks. And Jesus and his disciple school of learning walked near the land of Samaria. And in that boundary territory were some lepers. Now, leprosy is not a disease with which we are really familiar today. In fact, back in that day, they really didn't understand what it was all about. This disease would disfigure people, and they would eventually, as it progressed, would grow uglier and uglier, at least in the eyes of everybody. And they often walked around all covered up. And I toyed, by the way, with maybe acting this story out and bringing many rolls of toilet paper and having persons wrap up in it. But I thought that might get a little messy and take a little bit too long to do. But, you know, if you will, some of us here in this room may have a glimpse of what leprosy was like. Those of you who may have be struggling with diabetes, you know that one of the problems with diabetes is that you lose a little bit of sensory perception with some of your extremities, and you lose a bit of feeling, and that becomes a problem because when you do not feel pain, you don't take care of those parts of your body. Now, I don't have diabetes, but I do have some neuropathy in my feet. So portions of my feet I can't fully feel. And I need to pay attention and make sure if I do have blisters there or something, I need to take care of them. Well, it's somewhat similar with leprosy, because these persons would, with increasing severity, lose a feeling in their body. They could not feel when they got hurt. Pain provides a good function in the human body. If we do not have pain, we don't know that we have been hurt. And if we don't know we have been hurt, we don't do the things necessary to try to help our body heal. Wounds can fester. And that's what would happen with people with leprosy. And that's what leads to disfigurement. And I don't mean to get too gross here, but if you can imagine somebody who has lost feeling in their face, sleeping at night and not feeling if a rat came up and took a big bite out of the face. Now, if hopefully your sense, you had an ew factor, okay? Right? Okay, can you bring that into the story? Here were 10 lepers. Ew! Okay? Do you get the sense of this? Both for those on one side of this boundary and those on the other. And people who had leprosy were forced to the boundaries because people didn't want them around because they didn't know what caused this. And, ew, could I, if I get close to you, am I, yeah, really? Ew, am I going to get leprosy? There's fear involved. Now imagine for those who had leprosy, they may not have been able to feel the hurt on the outside, but I'm sure they felt the hurt on the inside. Wouldn't you? These 10 lepers who knew what you were supposed to do. You keep away from people. You don't get close. You keep your distance and call out. And what did they call out? Have mercy! That was, by the way, a reminder of the law of Moses. A reminder to people that though they need to keep their distance, they have a responsibility. The law doesn't say, you know, that which is like leprosy, that which you stay away from, that you don't have some responsibility for. It reminded you, like in the words of Micah, that you are always to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You have a responsibility. There were things that you were called to do in the law to be responsible. And by saying have mercy, these lepers were speaking the truth. They were speaking out for their care. Because that's how they lived. Just on the crumbs, the coins, the whatever that they could get from anybody who came their way. So here we have this story with Jesus and his school of learning. And imagine the learning that came from this, my friends. A learning that still passes on to us today. Who we are in Jesus' meandering school of learning. They come by this boundary with these 10 lepers who stand there. Another thing to say about leprosy is not a respecter of persons. You could be a Samaritan, you could be a Jew, you could be whoever. And probably the communities, there was probably a degree of community of those with leprosy, just like there is a community of those who are on the street who do not have a home. There is a sense of community that does develop, and it sure it probably was there among these persons as well. And so we have here a very brief healing story where these 10 persons cry out to Jesus, for they recognize him. They call him by name. His reputation has preceded him. They call him by name, have mercy. Now, what he doesn't do is come up and go like, be healed. He doesn't do any mumbo jumbo and this and that. He simply says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Which is again another part of the law. As they were reminding people of their responsibility and saying, have mercy. Jesus was picking up the law. For if a person had some disease or something in need of healing, and if they were indeed healed, they were supposed to show themselves to the priest, and the priest would look them over one side and down the other and say, okay, you're healed. But that statement would be a moment of inclusion, where once you were considered outside and you can't come in, that, okay, you have been healed, is like opening the door for them to re-enter society. And what happened is that they obeyed what Jesus said. And Scripture says, as they were doing what Jesus said to them to do, they were healed. Jesus didn't go, poof, you are healed. No, in their obedience to what he had to say, they were healed. They all went off. End of story number one, a healing story. But this is a two-parter here, folks. For there was just one who, instead of doing what Jesus said, turned. And while the other nine marched off to where they were supposed to march off, going to a priest, and you might imagine, you know, that what happens if you're supposed to go to see a priest, but you're not of that particular religion? What if these other nine were Jews and one of them was a Samaritan? Where was he supposed to go? Good question. Anyways, they march off, and this one turns. And in the turning comes something altogether new. He approaches Jesus. And you could imagine disciples and other people in this school of learning, this meandering school of learning, all of a sudden going, because he started coming towards Jesus. Do you catch what's happening here? Keep your distance, leper. But he is coming near Jesus, and he's getting closer and closer and closer and closer, and he falls down, it says, at Jesus' feet all along the way, praising God, giving thanks to God. The word thanks, by the way, in the language of the New Testament, the same word Jesus used when he gave thanks and broke the bread and shared it with his disciples. And this man comes at Jesus' feet. I mean, friends, this is a very intimate moment. If you don't understand what feet represent in the Bible, it is, I don't want to get into that whole sexual realm. It is an intimacy, though. In the Bible, the feet is a very intimate part of the body, the human body. We're talking intimate here. I mean, and which is in that other Bible story, perhaps you recall, where a woman of the night comes in when Jesus is eating at the table of the Pharisee, and she comes in and with her tears she anoints his feet. And it was a scandal. Jesus should have known what kind of woman this was. Well, here is not that kind of woman, but it's this kind of man. Ew! I mean, Jesus said, go, but how did you know that he was healed? And he fell at Jesus' feet. Now, we have an interesting story here, and I think we can tend to view it in the wrong way, because Jesus raises a question and says, where are the other nine? Where are they? And in our judgmental attitude, we're thinking, well, they didn't come back to thank Jesus. Well, no, they were doing what he called them to do. They were going to show themselves to the priests. They had been healed. But this one comes back, and it's a startling moment of thanksgiving and sheer gratitude. And I hope you catch it. It's just the extravagance of this gratefulness coming to Jesus. And Jesus recognizes it. And he praises it. And he says, your faith has made you well. You're a whole person. Now, you know, it's not just about healing. You're now a healed person. No, you are a whole person. And if you know the language of the New Testament, this, we're talking salvation story stuff here. This is a salvation story, not just a healing story. For this man has been made whole with God, and his wholeness has involved his whole being. And that's where the story ends. But it's also where we pick it up for ourselves. Because, you know, we may not have leprosy, but, you know, many of us have been at the margins of things. We go through experiences that put us at the boundary of certain things. And certainly, health is something that knocks you out of where you should be. You know, when you've got a problem that is pulling you down, you just don't feel a part of the community around you, do you? Or there are other things that pull us away. When we got a financial issue or something else that is just tearing us apart, but it's also separating us and pushing us away from others and towards the margins. Jesus, in his meandering sort of way, comes to where we are and playfully works with us. And hopefully there are those moments when, as we seek to do, you know, what this Jesus stuff calls us to do, we do a double take and we do a shift and we turn back, and sheer extravagant gratitude erupts in our lives. Such moments like that are a grace, they are a glory, and they happen probably more often than we dare think possible, if only we open ourselves up to them. Okay, folks, we're approaching the season of Thanksgiving. You know, hopefully let's not narrow down Thanksgiving to just a day. But as the sheaves are being brought in, as the leaves are changing, as the harvest is coming in and we are appreciating the bounty of the land, let's let our gratitude come out. And let's, with our whole being, bless the Lord.